Welcome to That Film Stew. I am Jason.
And I am Luke.
And this is That Movie Review with a review of Independence Day Resurgence. Now, excuse my voice, I am a bit sick, so I probably sound like trash. But anyway, Roland Emmerich returns after 20 years to bring us the sequel to 1996's Independence Day.
So there's plenty of returning characters, but this one lacks the ones played by Will Smith, Margaret Colin, James Rebhorn, and Adam Baldwin.
But plenty of returning, including Jeff Goldblum. Yay! So the aliens are back, and we've got a new movie that shows us just how things go. Spoiler warning as well, be warned. So Luke, give us a plot.
Yes, the aliens are back. The 20 years after the horrible yet triumphant events during the first Independence Day, we have the next chapter, which catches us up with David Levinson, played by Jeff Goldblum, and President Whitmore, played by Bill Pullman. Using recovered alien technology, the nations of Earth have collaborated on an immense defense program to protect the planet. But nothing can prepare them for the aliens' advanced and unprecedented force. Once again, only the ingenuity of a few brave men and women can bring our world back from the brink of extinction.
Okay. Cool. Now,
that makes this film sound exciting.
It does. I think most of that was lifted from an actual official statement from 20th Century Fox. Like, wow. That's what they were.
They know how to sell a movie.
They did well in that. Okay, so I guess where do we start? This movie has a lot of characters. Resurgence, much like the first Independence Day, has an ensemble cast, which eventually, you know, they all come together by the end of the film. So just as a quick rundown, Jeff Goldblum is back as David Levinson, who after saving the world leads the ESD, known as Earth Space Defense. His father is back, Julius Levinson, played by Judd Hirsch, who is basically just escaping the destruction whilst accompanied by a group of kids along the way. Bill Pullman reprises his role as the now ex-president Lanford, who is in a bit of a crazy place since his confrontation with aliens. His daughter Patricia Whitmore is now played by Maker Monroe, who works at the White House with the current president, Elizabeth Lanford, who is played by Celia Ward. So Patricia, the daughter, she's engaged to Jake Morrison, who is played by Liam Hemsworth, a US pilot serving as a lieutenant in ESD, is stationed on the moon. And he is a childhood friend of Jesse T. Usher's character, Dylan Hiller, with whom they have an unresolved conflict in their friendship. Now, Dylan Hiller is, of course, the stepson of the now-deceased war hero, Stephen Hiller, which is Will Smith's character from the previous film. Now, if this all sounds hard to follow and a bit overstuffed with characters, that is because this movie is. There's key storylines following also Dr. Brackish Oaken, some scenes with Jasmine Hiller during the destruction scenes. Levinson has a new working romantic relationship brewing with Catherine Marseilles, and we get a budding pairing with a Congolese warlord and an ESD accountant.
Just so you know, people, I'm still here. Wow, Jason.
Any thoughts, Luke? Any thoughts on that?
That was a lot.
But I think, yeah, definitely necessary to point all of this convoluted crap out to the people. This movie has all of this in there, character storylines all over the place.
And out of all the information you've just read through, you know, two of my favorite characters of the movie were in the last sentence. The warlord and the accountant.
They literally had we want to say the B story. Did they have like the D story in this film? But
it
was fun.
It was the odd couple.
It was fun.
But with a warlord and an accountant. And by the end, a badass accountant. I mean, not like a legit one, but enough for this movie. And the warlord has got his machetes, he's sliding underneath the alien's legs and stabbing them in the back, and things are happening.
I like how from here on out we're just going to refer to them as the warlord and the accountant. So the accountant says to the warlord,
"Oh, the warlord and the accountant. Where's that movie?
Give me a gun and teach me everything."
I know.
He just looks at
him. Which is amazing. That was a really good moment.
Yeah.
But I feel as though we're not talking about Independence Day. I mentioned an alien in that. But they're legitimately, for me, two good characters. Okay, let's do the good characters. I think the shining diamond in this movie, I didn't think I was going to put it like that, but I'm going to stick with it. Bill Pullman, back as the president.
Yeah, even though he has a crazy man beard.
But then he's like, I'm going to take things into my own hands and I'm going to save the day. Beard's gone.
So he shaves.
Yes.
But like, I mean,
It reminded me of, you know, the scene in Jurassic World where Bryce Dallas Howard, she's with, again, his name.
Chris Pratt. Or,
that's him. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of his character. But she's like, okay, let's do
Owen,
this. And she ties a top up and, you know, ties her hair.
She's like, what are you doing?
I'm ready for action.
I'm ready to go.
That sounded better in my head before I said it. But that's what it took me to. Is like, right, okay, I'm going to show people I mean business. I'm going to shave my beard.
And that's cool for you.
It worked.
Well, like, it's 20 years later. We're kind of being reintroduced to some of these characters. And it's like, has he been crazy this whole time for 20 years?
Well, he's really been effective because his mind was exposed,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Well, I understand why, but, yeah, like, has he been in this state for 20 years? Has he just been in a is it because they're coming back? And
I
now
think he's supposed to coming back.
Yeah? It's almost like you meet him again and he's like, I've been in Jumanji this whole time. You know, like, he's crazy and he's weird.
I think so much happens in this movie. There's so many characters. I think maybe if there were less characters and more story,
yeah,
we would have known more about his backstory.
I mean, even the characters that we're reintroduced to, it's not like we have a lot of character development from them. In the first film, there wasn't much of it either. It probably wasn't as bad as it is here. You still got enough out of them. But yeah, the characters were, you know, like Jeff Goldblum's character, Levinson, still really know much about him except that he had an ex-wife and now she's not even in this movie, and they kind of rekindled their relationship in the last film by the end of it, and now he's just running this thing. Like,
this is what I want to know, Jason. How do you like Goldblum in this movie, knowing that you're such a big fan?
I enjoyed watching him. Like, he, you know, you mentioned sort of how, you know, like the warlord and the accountant had like funny moments and stuff. Jeff Goldblum,
none.
Pulled out some.
Okay.
Oh, he had some one-liners here and there. Yes, they felt quite forced.
Okay, a couple of dry lines.
To me, the reason I was excited to see Goldblum wasn't paid off in this film. I went in wanting to have a blast with him, and I'm not blaming him, though.
He's flat in this movie. I recently listened to an interview with Goldblum, and this guy, I'm not sure if you've heard him in interviews, he's so full of energy.
Yeah.
The interviewer trying to keep him on point, he's all over the place. So much energy. How have they managed to... I know he's an actor, he's playing a part, but everything that he is just stripped bare, and he's just this plain character in this movie.
Mm.
He's certainly not how I remember him from the first movie.
Not at all. And it's like, maybe he does have a problem reprising. And like, it's 20 years later, so you expect some sort of change in, I guess, character or, like, you know, human personal identity evolving over time. But maybe Jeff Goldblum has a problem reprising the same character again. Take him in Jurassic Park as Dr. Malcolm. From the first movie to The Lost World, completely different character.
Well, then you do see a photo of him on the back of that book on Lost World, or yeah, Jurassic World even. Nailed it.
Just in that photo.
So you can pull that up.
Best role today.
I just want to say that, okay, are you finished on Goldblum, or are you going to...
I was going to move on, but sort of, yeah, no, let's see where you're going with this.
Well, okay, so we're talking about an actor coming back to a role. We've got an actress that didn't come back to a role. Mae Whitman. So we got to see her in the first one, the president's daughter. Didn't come back this time. Now, there's speculation it's because the studio thought she was or wasn't conventionally pretty.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why she didn't come back. And it sounds like she wasn't even approached.
Yeah, now, Mae Whitman, it's not like she's not an actress who's even currently working at the moment. She is. I'm not sure what she's currently doing at the moment, but one of her recent films was The Duff, which, I guess, to tie in with what you're saying there, she does play a character who is, I guess, unconventionally attractive in a way, or unattractive. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say.
Well, Whitman, she stayed silent on the matter. Mm. But when there was an article was posted on Twitter about her being recast, she retweeted it. I think that's the only thing that she's done.
Yeah,
to fan
I
the
think
place.
She's had some friends and stuff. I think Anna Kendrick even spoke up about it. I think they're close friends. She was saying it's ridiculous. Like, she should be playing the role. I don't know.
But back to who did come back. Brent Spiner. Now, a question I had going into this movie, I thought he died in the first movie. He had the tentacle wrapped around his throat, and I just thought he was dead.
Hmm. Was he in a coma? I think
this movie tells us that he was for 20 years.
Hmm.
And then he comes back and he's Mr. Bean. He's like Mr. Slapstick. I sang in at his gown.
Yeah. But like,
did that work for you? The humor?
Well, did his ass hanging out work for me?
He was entertaining, but he just seemed disjointed from when we last saw him. But I guess 20 years in a coma, you know, you're gonna,
yeah, and I guess like, yeah, affected by alien in the brain kind of thing. But like, where he was bringing humor to the first film, this time, like he said, is a bit more slapsy. You know, it's a bit more dumbed down. But at the same time, they're giving him a lot of like actual storyline to do with this film, especially when we get to the end of the movie.
I mean, this is the most he's had to do since Star Trek.
Yeah.
He really does do quite a bit of heavy lifting in this movie.
I don't know.
Well, I think he does anyway. He's doing stuff. He's got lasers. He's getting chips open.
He does. Any other characters you want to like mainly point out?
Oh, well, Vivica A. Fox, she comes back. Okay. Yeah, okay. She comes back momentarily.
Briefly.
If we didn't give a spoiler warning at the beginning.
We did.
Did we?
Okay. I tucked in there, don't worry.
I can't take credit. You must have done that. Now we've both given a spoiler warning.
Don't hold back. We've come this far.
Yeah, she comes back. Jasmine Hiller.
So she was an exotic dancer in the first movie.
Yep. And then she's working in a hospital in this movie.
She's a doctor. Yeah. She's a nurse of some sort.
And then she dies. But let's talk about the other Hiller that dies off screen. Stephen Hiller. This movie has no Will Smith.
Although we get a big painting of him.
We get a painting of him,
poster,
we get a photo of him, we get a mention of him. Well, Will Smith's such a big part of that movie.
Yeah, definitely an absent sort of thing.
And we get his son.
But Jeff Goldblum's back, so that's all right. But yeah,
we've covered this. But yeah, we get his son, so that's a good payoff, I guess, would you say?
Look, these new characters...
Liam Hemsworth? Is he good in this?
Look,
like...
they're all fine actors and stuff. There's just them as characters, these new people that are coming in, they just did nothing for me. I don't care about them because I don't know who they are. Yeah, like, I really don't know what more to say about them. There's obviously they've got all these little subplots going on between them, all their relationships intertwining and I don't know, motivation to save the world for whatever reason and this and that.
This is what I do. Yeah. Take out Jake Morrison. Take out Dylan Hiller.
Yeah.
Keep the accountant. Keep the warlord. You've got Bill Pullman with and without beard.
Yep, that's Jeff Goldblum. That's like two characters in one.
That's your movie.
That's really what it should have been. Yeah, maybe even bring back the... You've got the Oka guy.
I mean, what do you think?
I'm waking up from a coma.
What do you think is the reason why Smith didn't return? Like, there's two conflicting stories.
What I heard is money. I think he asked for too much.
50,000.
Yep.
Million. Lots of money.
Wow, that's like a quarter of the budget of this movie. Okay, very good, Will Smith.
50 million. Not 1,000.
He's got 50 million.
He's got deeper pockets than that.
Wow.
But that was for two movies.
Oh,
so 25
okay.
per film. So that's what he wanted. And that's one story. The other one...
I mean, he would have been the leading man.
He would have been. Yeah. And the other one is that schedules just conflicted with Concussion and Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So that's believable.
He's busy.
But if you're thinking that if it was over the money and the studio is like, we're not going to pay you that much, we don't need you, Big Will. We're okay, we got this. I don't think they have. This movie's not doing well at the box office at all.
Do you think with Will Smith, it would have helped?
I think it'd have helped my enjoyment of the movie. Unless Will Smith came back and he played a different character. Not the different character, but played the character differently. If he brought the energy from the first film, if he was the guy chomping the cigar, punching aliens in the face, stating, welcome to Earth.
Earth?
With an E.
What planet do you live on?
I was getting excited. Welcome to Earth. Nailed it.
You had one line.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about this.
Okay, what?
The big speech that the president gives in the first movie. And we get a little replay of it as it's getting broadcasted into outer space.
And that's
in the
cool.
Sequel.
Yeah, that's cool. That's.
But that speech from that first movie, it's an announcement, not just to the people in the room or in, you know, where he's.
It's broadcasted. It's to the world.
Across the world. No longer will today be America's Independence Day. And oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. And it pulls in the whole thing. It's like, even though it lands on July 4th, Independence Day, the world is no longer independent things. They're all united. It's crazy. It's good.
It's great.
It's magic.
It's cheesy.
Oh yeah,
great. I love it. Fast forward 20 years, you've got I can't remember, is he bearded at this time? Not necessary or needed.
No, they, no,
just,
no.
Just know this.
He shaves and then he makes a speech.
He makes the speech.
And it's
to about six mechanics in a hangar.
It's shit.
Yeah. and he's just talking loudly.
No microphone. Shit. It's so crap.
It just...
underwhelming.
I mean, it's obvious. Like, their nose on my face. What they're trying to do.
They should have just not tried to do another speech. They should have just let him come out and be like, all right, guys, let's just F and do this.
Or do the same thing again. I think doing the same thing again would have been better than him talking to six mechanics.
Or the exact same speech.
Not the same speech, but like broadcasted the same way. Mm. You know when he went up and he was at the podium with the president and he's like, hey, they're coming back. We're doomed. Oh, like, everyone's in a panic and do we listen
to him? He did it like crazy man. Like,
yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. But he could have done it then. Not in the hangar, six people.
Yeah. So,
but this movie 20 years later. I like that.
It is.
I like that it's a neat 20 years, real time.
No, perfectly. And good on the aliens for waiting the exact Earth years of 20 years to come back.
So it looks like this movie is set in the future, but it's not.
No, it's an alternate present. Oh, no, but it makes sense because 20 years ago in 1996, we've got all this leftover. No, alien
I know, but it looks like the future. No,
it makes sense because they've used the technology they found to develop things.
I know what they've done.
Oh, I'm just saying it looks like the future.
But
it's cool.
Okay.
And it makes sense.
If I know, they know.
They know.
People
they?
Listening now, I'm pretty
have
sure.
Have you even watched the movie? The box office results do not say you
that
have.
That's a good point. It's a very, very good point.
You might just be listening out of curiosity. But is 20 years too long? Like, I mean, I should really stop making references to Jurassic Park. I will do that as much as I can, though. It was, 16 years since Jurassic Park 3 and then Jurassic World? What else is there? Like,
I don't think...
Franchises come back and they do things.
I don't think 20 years is the issue. I think the film's just not good enough. If this was a good Independence Day sequel 20 years later, it doesn't matter how long it is. I mean, there might be the younger audience that don't want to watch an old movie from 1996.
Yeah.
Me personally, I think 20 years is fine.
So your issue is that the movie just isn't good enough?
Yeah.
Is the issue that the movie is the same movie?
Is that how you feel? It's the same?
Yes.
Well, what you got to realise... No,
obviously different, but...
It is very,
very,
very different.
But very much the same as well.
Okay, so the enemy, the aliens...
Yeah.
Right? They... You know, they're bringing destruction and they fire down on us.
Yeah.
Right? They do it differently in the new movie. They lift things up from the earth and drop them. Differences.
Everything.
It's not the same movie.
Everything that goes up must come down. But overall, aliens come, they invade, planet comes together. A bunch of people.
And the mothership, how big was that again? Was that like 300... Thousand.
This one was bigger, they said.
Yeah, stretched the planet.
Way to go Force Awakens on it and be like, oh, it's a Death Star again, but it's just really, really big. But look, all the characters, they go to Area 51, which happened in the first movie, and yeah, they use fighter pilots and stuff to fly up there and, you know.
No mention of Randy Quaid. We get all these legacy characters. And where's this one?
Yeah, speaking of fighter piloting, and we'll see.
There.
Must have kicked a bucket, I reckon.
You could have mentioned him.
Don't drink, kids. Stay in school. But yeah, no, his absence was definitely felt.
I mean, we're talking differences. I guess a criticism that people have of the first film, it's just that with our technology, we was able to defeat like an advanced alien species.
Yeah.
I'm saying we as if we was involved, but you know,
we did our part, giving
the aliens a cold. It was the virus. They essentially gave him a cold.
It was a computer virus.
It was a computer virus, but they gave the
War of the Worlds is they got a cold. This was
maybe I'm crossing my sci-fi. But okay, gave them a virus, and I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, but they gave them a virus, but it works first time.
It does.
In this movie, there's a twist. Their ploy doesn't work first time.
Oh yeah,
so they go to take. All we have to do is destroy the mothership with the alien queen, and then we're home free.
And then the aliens are like, no, we knew you were going to do that.
But we've taken down the shields on the ship. Oh my God, she has her own shields. I mean, was that a surprise for you?
I was like, well, we still got half an hour. So
I've got to be honest, I tried to stay away from a lot of the trailers. And when you've got the... Is it an alien queen? Is that what they call her? Or is it like
a... They refer to it sort of like, I guess, comparing it to like a beehive and all that kind of thing. So yeah, they like refer a queen. To it. Yeah, okay. Like a queen, the queen bee.
When she's running and chasing that bus full of school kids, and I can't believe Levinson, his dad, what is it, the actor, who was the actor, Hirsch, coming back and just endangers those kids constantly throughout this movie. He just keeps bringing them to danger. And then at the end, he's like, you can come and live with me. I'm thinking, we need to get child services involved.
What is going on?
This guy is a threat.
What is going on?
Don't stay with him. Bad things happen, kids.
No, have you... Roland Emmerich's, one of his recent movies, White House Down, has the young girl in it is the same girl in this movie. I haven't written a name down because I'm a bad person and children aren't important, apparently. I think it was definitely just the way to get her in this movie. I think Roland Emmerich... Yeah, it was like, oh, I like that girl. She's a good actress. I want to put her in my movie. Again, my new movie.
But that scene, though, where the queen is running in the desert and, you know, stomping everywhere, I didn't know that was going to happen. Because, again, staying from the trailers, that scene was a surprise.
Do you want to know my consensus on that scene and literally everything that led, watching this movie and everything that leads to that happening? Ridiculous. Silly. But, man, it was fun. I enjoyed that. Jeff Goldblum driving a bus full of kids outrunning a giant... Oh, wow. It's really, it was like Jurassic Park.
Julius.
Yeah.
Julius Levinson.
That's it.
That's the character's name.
Oh, one funny line from, I think, yeah, that girl I was just talking about. She's like, oh, there's a tall, dangly man in the distance.
Yeah.
That's my David. That's funny.
Yeah. I've got to be honest.
A bit of Jewish humor there.
That did get a bit of a chuckle out of me. And then
awkward Jeff Goldblum.
And then Goldblum's like, he's reacting similar. Yeah. Who's this crazy person driving the bus? He's like, that's my father.
Yeah.
Dad? But that is pulling on your love of the original, I think. That's that first movie. That was their banter, their back and forth.
Yeah, the father and son.
But I thought it'd be much more powerful when he's on the ship at the beginning. This is Julius. On his little fishing boat, and then he seemingly, as if he dies.
I thought he died.
I think you're supposed to, and I think he should have.
Yeah,
because
he didn't
really
need to.
That really affected David. He was really bothered by it.
Mm.
I thought.
Yeah, I think his death would have been a way to obviously have the character come back, be in the movie, and be like, cool, there, we've seen him. And it's like, oh, now we've lost him. And then elevate, obviously, the David Levinson character. Didn't they just had another, I don't know, F story where, you know, Levinson, Daddy Levinson is driving a bus.
You can't expect a movie like this not to have a high death toll. And a lot of people did die, you know, when you've got the alien ship, it's coming down, it's just smashing through buildings. But it just seemed like every time there was a big action scene where, again, there would be many, many deaths, the immediate follow-up was a joke.
Well, yeah,
you
like
know, just to like soften
like, oh, it's
like,
too dark. We have to go down. Like,
it's not
like
the kind of way
you
can eat it.
Let me feel this moment.
They're wanting it to be, you know, hardcore and like look at the stakes and then ha 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 ha.
Mm.
Have a laugh. And then high stakes again and then have a laugh.
Oh, at least, it's cute at least this time around, there wasn't a dog running through a green screen explosion. Fine for 1996. I can't bash it too much. Okay, let's talk the disaster. Let's talk. Special effects and all that. Special effects were good.
Really good.
Yeah. I'm going to praise it. Big tick all round. If there was ever a reason to remake a movie for special effects, this is it. Like I said, 1996, it looked pretty crummy. Except maybe the White House blowing up. That was pretty cool. Still,
oh, I still hired the first movie in high regard. Yeah. I mean, I'd give it 20 years, you know, advancements in technology and the effects have come a long way. I still think the first movie holds up. But I will say, yeah, the best thing about this movie is the effects.
Oh, like crazy, crazy good. I had people, though, I guess, who had seen it or whatever, talking about the destruction. They were like, oh, there's so much. It's madness. There's destruction everywhere. Like, basically, the whole planet gets wiped out. I didn't see that.
It's a trick. That's why.
Yeah.
You didn't see it. Okay, you didn't see
no,
it.
You didn't fall no, but for I mean,
it's because they go for monuments. And I know, you know.
I mean, they make a joke about
the jokes in the movie. Goldblum makes that joke. But I'm saying, like, the, you know, making the movie, the filmmakers, the first movie, they go for monuments and it makes you feel everything is much bigger and grand because you're seeing different points. But then again, the first movie was primarily America and they referenced other parts of the world. I mean, in the first movie, 20 years ago, they mentioned London, being told.
Yeah, but they actually went for key cities on the planet as an actual plot thing. Yeah,
it's a story point. It works. What I'm saying is, as an audience member, when you're seeing different monuments around the world, it does make you view it as in, like, you remember it as being much bigger scale. Like, it was huge.
But yeah, no, I don't know. The effects are great, but I just don't think the threat was there. I don't know. It's just what you get with a bit, like, showy destruction.
It's the kind of movie you're either going to love or hate it, I guess.
I want to tell you now that I didn't hate this movie.
Okay. Did you love it?
No.
You ruined my argument. Moving swiftly on.
Where are we?
I thought that very same thing watching the movie. Where am I? You know, I'm just going to say, I know we're not at the rating yet, but there were so many moments in this movie, and I know it was a choice. It was my choice to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Quite a few moments as I'm watching it, I was just thinking, I wish this didn't exist.
Yeah.
I felt like during this movie, like, certain things happened and I thought, I don't need this. And again, I know it's a choice.
It's like, I think I just wish it was a different movie. Like, it was
a better movie.
Like, well, even like if, I guess, like, if the movie I was watching and what I enjoyed and saw just wasn't an Independence Day movie, and then I might have been like, yeah, sure, whatever. But because it was an Independence Day movie, I'm watching, I'm like, this really should have been better.
I'm not sure if you remember, but originally, so we're talking about Independence Day Resurgence, this was going to be Independence Day Forever, part one. And it was going to be a two-part movie.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they're definitely...
And we're going to jump to the end, or I'm going to jump to the end,
yeah,
where
do it,
you've got...
Go for it.
So you've got Brent Spiner, and his character's name is, to give him full credit...
Dr. Brakish Oaken.
That's the guy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's him. So he announces to us, he pretty much looks in the camera and says, we're going to take the fight to them, we're going to go into space. Oh, okay, I'm at the end of the movie now, but I just realised we've not mentioned the good aliens, the really advanced aliens that are that advanced, they're now... Robots?
Yeah, like,
or,
I've...
You know, artificial beings?
I've mentioned Dr. Oaken's, like, D-side story or whatever with these things. And that's what this is.
And they basically choose Earth as their champions.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you've...
You can lead us.
You've beat them before, you can do it again.
I mean, I've not got that much faith in us personally. I mean, we managed to pull it off twice.
Surely there must be another race out there that can do it.
But that moment where Oaken... looked out and he's like, we're going to take it to them. I'm paraphrasing now, but we're basically going to go into space, take the fight to them. I could not. I've got out of my seat quicker. There may have been a post-credit scene. I didn't care. I still don't care. I was out.
Yep. I don't think there was. I looked later. I also didn't wait for one, but I looked later just for curiosity reason. There wasn't a post-credit scene.
I mean, I recognize there is an audience for this movie. And I would have, like, I just assumed it was me.
Yeah.
Like, before watching it,
it just seemed like the corniest. It seemed like the end of a kids show episode cliffhanger. You know, got to the end of the season, it was like, oh, next season we're going into space. Oh wow, it was the end of Power Rangers Turbo.
Okay, well, there you go. I just think that because I like modern sci-fi.
Yeah,
you know, Independence Day, the first one, modern day, aliens come down. It's still present day, 20 years later in this movie. But if the next movie, it's going to be this cast of characters going out into space, which is essentially Independence Day meets Star Wars, I don't want that.
Yeah, no, like, these characters seem to be the problem now. I don't want to blame the actors, because I honestly do feel like the actors did a pretty decent job with what they were given. It wasn't like I was watching and I'm going, oh man, that's a really bad performance, or that's bad acting, or it was just... The lines that were written for them, the development that the characters were given, just wasn't there. They were all dry cardboard cutouts of just staple characters. And there were too many of them. Too many. More of them should have died.
More than who?
I don't know.
Who died?
I think the mum. The thingy's mum.
Okay. You win. She died.
Like you said, you know, like the Levinson dad should have died.
Maybe he should have.
Just cull a bunch of characters halfway through would have probably helped a little bit.
The president's daughter was going to sacrifice herself to save everybody. And her father, Bill Pullman, is like, I want to do this. I've suffered for 20 years. I've not got much left. There's nothing more I can really contribute. I want to do this. And then...
Did he die?
She kept taking it away from him. No, yeah. Eventually he did. He sacrificed himself.
He did die,
though. He saved everybody.
I don't even remember.
But she kept like, oh, okay, he died. But she was like saying, no, I'm going to do this. And I think, you're kind of being selfish as a daughter. Like, you know, he wants to do this and he's not got, you know, he's not got much time left. That annoyed me a little bit. But yeah, he died. So I'm glad we covered that because we remembered that.
I think another person died. I had this like phantom memory of like when they were, you know, celebrating at the end. Did he rock up and it was like,
so a mum
hey
died,
guys, yeah, all good.
A mum died and a dad died. There we go.
Well, 20 years later, I mean, I think she's mourned. She's good. A bit more mourning for you.
I think we're pretty much at the rating period. I think without giving like an official using the rating system, we've done it. But
one thing I also want to mention.
Okay.
Fighter pilots, when they're all flying around shooting things, I didn't know what was going on half the time. Maybe because this was when I started to get a little bit sick because I've been sick for about a week now. But I was like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It looked cool, but it felt like bloody Star Wars, like laser beam stuff going around. Let's do a rating. You can start, my man.
Okay. Like I've said, I did want this to be good. I expected it to be good, but I was completely let down. This movie was a disappointment. It looked great. Jeff Goldblum was back. That's good. Bill Pullman was strong. I feel as though I'm being generous with my scoring here. I can't go any higher than 2 popcorn combos out of 5. I feel as though I'd be more comfortable with a 1, but it feels really harsh. And I know some people are going to love this movie, like thoroughly enjoy it. I think this is the movie that I feel as though could get the most comeback on, like people not agreeing. But for me, it's 2 out of 5. I want to go higher, but I can't. How about you, my man?
Don't hurt yourself. I think the way I've been talking about this movie, you're probably going to think, like I said, really, really didn't like it. But, you know, what we get with Resurgence is an update on special effects, and they look great despite at times just looking like an unchoreographed mess. It's definitely an enjoyable enough sci-fi action blockbuster popcorn flick. So that is what it is. But it's really nothing more. Overstuffed with too many characters, heaps of new ones with barely any development, and the returning faces don't seem to be the characters we met 20 years ago. Simply put, this plays as a rehash of the first independent that... this plays with a rehash of the first Independence Day with goals of making a tighter franchise, so a sequel probably in a couple years, we'll see. Fun, but silly. A 20-year break was too long for what we ended up getting. There, that's it. Out of 5 popcorn combos, I am going to give it a 3.
Wow. My takeaway from what you just said, Independence Day Resurgence, enjoyable enough.
Enjoyable enough.
Your
and
words.
To me, 3.
Okay.
It's pretty enjoyable. Enough for me to say 3, but if you want to start critiquing it and dissecting it, pretty terrible, guys. Pretty bad. Pretty bad. But that's all right.
I'm pleased that you had a better experience.
I enjoyed it.
That's good.
But yeah, you have to pretty much shut off and just watch it.
I just honestly believe that if Smith was back, this would be a different movie.
I really don't think it would have helped. And not to discredit him, I just don't think they would have given him enough to make it anything better. He just would have been another character.
Okay, I think that maybe it had just been my personal enjoyment. Maybe I'd have liked to have seen him back and that would have just made it a better movie for me. But the movie is what it is. 2 and 3 out of 5. Popcorn combos.
I'm not arguing with us.
It's got 5. That's something, I guess.
I was like, 3 plus 2 is 4. Yes. Yeah, well done. Cool.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. So I'll give you a little bit of trivia.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got something prepared. How's that? So Independence Day, both in the films and the real American holiday, is of course July 4th. All right, that's it, guys.
Okay. Wow.
Jeff Goldblum. Okay, so this is really just Jeff Goldblum tributes.
I don't know what this is, but go on.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum became a father for the first time at the age 62 when his third wife, Emily Livingston, age 32, get these facts right, gave birth to their son Charlie Ocean Goldblum on July 4th, 2015.
So that's Jeff Goldblum proving once again that he's more interesting than David Levinson. Hooray!
Yay! I think that's cool. July 4th.
Yeah, it's all there. It's on point.
It's all, yeah. Well, it's trivia. It's meant to be a pointless fact.
No, it's on point.
It's good, man.
Yeah. Well, it's in. You've done it.
I've done it now. Can't go back.
Just so you know, people, we don't run trivia by each other. So I didn't know what it was going to be. I mean, hopefully that was good for you.
You're a really good actor. All right, guys, so that's it for this week. Please go and subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, and please leave us a review. It helps listeners just, like you, find the podcast.
So we are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com.
So come and find us.
Yeah.
See ya.
Thanks for listening, guys. Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.